The U.S. economy, at least for now, is growing at a healthy pace, and healthy economic growth tends to bring a bit of inflation, rising prices. So to make sure that inflation doesn't get too high, the Federal Reserve is gradually raising interest rates.
And it is safe to say that President Donald Trump is not a huge fan of the Fed's raising interest rates.
The Fed, I don't necessarily agree with it because he's raising interest rates. I'm not saying that I agree with it, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I must tell you, I don't. I'm not thrilled because, you know, we go up, and every time you go up, they want to raise rates again. And I don't really, I am not happy about it. But at the same time, I'm letting them do what they feel is best.
The president followed that up with a couple of tweets that also complained about how the Fed was raising interest rates. And like some other things that President Trump has done, this was pretty unusual for a president.
Josh Barrow, a senior columnist at Business Insider, he's been on the show a few times. He explains that ever since the early 1990s, U.S. presidents have followed a rule of not commenting on the Fed's policies. The Fed is supposed to conduct monetary policy independent of political pressures. And actually, if the president looks like he is in fact pressuring the Fed, it could even backfire on the president.
The interesting thing about Trump breaking this rule is it's a rule that exists to protect the president as much as anybody else. Trump could, again, be putting the Fed in a situation where maybe in a few months the Fed will look at, you know, the track of inflation and job growth and other things and say, hey, you know, maybe we should hold off a little bit on our rate hike campaign. But now if they do that, it will look like they did it under pressure from Donald Trump, and that might actually make them more reluctant to change course.
Well, right, because now it's like, well, now, like, it's like when your mom is like, are you going to go out in that jacket? That's a terrible looking jacket. Why would you wear a jacket that's already ripped?
Can't change things up because like, dad said so. Now I have to keep raising interest rates.
Now I have to wear this jacket till I die.
So the question remains, though, like, why would the president take this kind of a risk? I mean, with a healthy economy and a decent jobs market, why complain about raising interest rates at all? Actually, Josh says the president has another problem, a problem that he cares a lot about, and he's afraid that the Fed's raising rates will make this problem harder to fix.
And the president is right about that, says Josh. But he also adds if President Trump wants someone to really blame for this problem, he should not just be pointing at the Fed. He should maybe be looking in the mirror. This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. After the break, we'll tell you what the president's problem is, why he's blaming the Fed, and how he himself made the problem worse.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. Invest in high-growth companies of the future, innovating in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/indicator. Support also comes from Alarm.com. Every day, millions of people trust Alarm.com's smart security technology to make their homes and businesses smarter, safer, and more efficient. Find out more at alarm.com/indicator.
Today's Planet Money indicator is 8.5%. Since the beginning of February, the U.S. dollar has gone up by 8.5% against the currencies of the countries that the U.S. trades with.
And the stronger dollar is also that problem that we teased at the top of the show, President Trump's problem. It is the source of his dispute with the Fed's raising rates. You get a sense of this if you listen to just a few more minutes of the president's comments last week, which he gave to CNBC, specifically when the president starts talking about European countries and their currency, the euro.
They're making money easy and their currency is falling. And China, their currency is dropping like a rock. And our currency is going up. And I have to tell you, it puts us at a disadvantage. Now, I'm just saying.
So why is the stronger dollar a problem for President Trump? Because he really wants the United States to sell more goods to other countries and to buy less from other countries. In other words, he wants to shrink the U.S. trade deficit, especially the trade deficit with China.
And a stronger U.S. dollar makes that goal harder because it means that U.S. products are more expensive to people in China, and it also makes the products in China cheaper for Americans to buy.
So the first question is this. Is the president right to place at least some of the blame on the Fed for strengthening the U.S. dollar? Josh Barrow says yes.
when the Fed raises interest rates, that makes it more attractive for investors to buy U.S. government bonds because they pay a higher rate of interest. So people sell the bonds of other countries, buy our bonds, and that pushes up the U.S. dollar.
Because they need to buy dollars in order to buy the bonds.
Exactly.
But as always, the story is more complicated than that. President Trump himself has done a number of things to make the dollar stronger, says Josh. First, Republicans in Congress and the president passed a big tax cut at the end of last year. That tax cut leaves people and companies with more money to spend.
So it tends to increase spending in the U.S., and that tends to increase economic growth over the short run.
And that pushes up the dollar.
That pushes up the dollar because it means that our economy will grow faster than other economies around the world. When that happens and the U.S. therefore becomes a more attractive place to invest than other places, that tends to cause the dollar to appreciate relative to other currencies.
Plus, by definition, a corporate tax cut means that corporate tax rates are lower now. And that also makes the United States a more attractive place for foreigners to invest in a business, which keeps strengthening the dollar.
Second, the president has started to impose tariffs on the products that Americans buy from other countries. By making foreign products more expensive, the tariffs are supposed to help reduce the trade deficit, because then Americans would buy less imported stuff from abroad. That is what tariffs are supposed to do.
The problem with this is that the tariffs also have big economic effects, and they tend to have worse economic effects on the other countries than on the U.S. So the markets have responded to those tariff announcements, and they've pushed the dollar up and other countries' currencies down, particularly China. You've seen a big depreciation in the Chinese currency over the last few months. And that has the effect of undermining the tariff policy.
So the tariffs make Chinese goods more expensive, but the stronger dollar makes them less expensive.
So you're going to see fewer of our goods sold into China on top of the fact that China is imposing retaliatory tariffs on the United States. So that, paradoxically, the president's trade war policy intended to reduce the trade deficit is pushing up the dollar and may therefore increase the trade deficit.
And finally, Josh says, President Trump created some of the conditions that made it more likely that the Fed would continue raising rates in the first place. The big tax cut itself, for example, gave the economy a boost at a time when the economy had already been growing for a while. And that invigorated economic growth could lead to more inflation, so the Fed has responded by continuing to raise interest rates as a kind of a way to make sure that inflation just doesn't go too high. That's sort of what you would expect.
But more directly, President Trump gets to choose some of the people who sit on the Federal Reserve Board, the people who vote on whether or not to raise interest rates. And overall, the president has chosen people that would be likely to pursue something like the current path. One of those people the president appointed was, in fact, the current chair of the Fed, Jerome Powell.
And Josh makes the final point that the president made these choices partly because the Fed does not only do monetary policy. The Fed also is responsible for regulating part of the financial system. So the president has to try to find people who agree with him on what to do about interest rates and also agree with him on how to regulate the financial sector. And finding those people is not that easy, especially since they also have to be approved by the Senate.
The people who espouse ideas more similar to the president's on inflation and interest rates and monetary policy have tended to come more from the left side of the political spectrum, people who have said that the Fed did not stimulate enough, was too concerned about inflation. So there are some names like Jared Bernstein, Dean Baker, that he could have considered. The problem is that the Fed also does bank regulation, and their ideas on bank regulation would be really anathema to Trump and Republicans. He wouldn't want to pick those people. And then if he picked someone who was just some crony of his who would do whatever he wanted on the Fed board, that might get him what he wanted in this instance. But such a person would be very unlikely to get confirmed.
Take it all together, and yeah, the Fed's raising rates does tend to strengthen the U.S. dollar. But a strengthening U.S. dollar and the Fed's raising rates are both part of an agenda that the president himself has set, whether he meant to or not. This podcast was produced by Darius Rafian and Constanza Gallardo. The source for the 8.5% strengthening of the dollar since February is the change in the Federal Reserve's trade-weighted broad dollar index. And finally, we'll link to Josh's Business Insider piece on this topic over at npr.org/money.
I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of the podcast Hidden Brain. All summer long, we're sharing stories about reinventing yourself as part of a series that we call You 2.0.
Rebels are not troublemakers. They're people who break rules that should be broken.
Subscribe and embrace your inner rebel. No leather jacket required.